This is Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. Cross Hope is broadcast daily and shares 5 minutes of hope and encouragement from the Word of God. Our companion website is www.crosshope.org. Now, with today's uplifting message, here's Randy.
Well, Jerry Landry was the minister in Pittsburgh where my sister attended church years ago, and I got to know Jerry a little. And Jerry tells the story of getting the call from his mom one day in Iowa and saying, "Jerry, your dad just died. Jerry, I want you to do the funeral. I want you to preach the funeral." And so Jerry had to do what a lot of ministers I know have done. I spoke at my dad's funeral, but I didn't conduct the service. I spoke at my mom's funeral, but I didn't do the service. And I know one minister friend of mine who had to do both parents at the same time. They were killed in an accident. And I can't imagine what he had to go through to preach his parents' funeral, but he did. He did. So Jerry Landry went to Iowa. He flew to Iowa to be with his family, and he said he was so busy catching the tears of other people that he didn't have time to weep himself, which is an interesting observation. I was so busy catching the tears of other people, I didn't have time to weep. It wasn't until he was flying back to Pittsburgh from Iowa that he was on a plane. He was in a 3-seat row. He was in the middle, a businessman on either side with their Wall Street journals and their laptops, when he started weeping uncontrollably. And he said the irony was, and he wasn't complaining or criticizing the people, nobody said a word on either side of him. Nobody said, "Can I give you a Kleenex? Can I get you a drink of water?" They ignored it. Do you know why that is? People don't know what to do when they're around grief. People don't know what to do when they're around grief. We're going to talk about Jesus being around grief today. And you know what the Bible says? His heart went out to the person, a widow, who lost her only means of support, her son. When you were a widow back in biblical times and you had no family, you were destitute. There was no Medicare, Medicaid, there was no SSI, there was none of the things that we have available today. So she literally, when she lost her son, her only son, she became destitute. And that's the scene we see. It's the only gospel that records this story is Luke. Luke 7, beginning exactly where I left off last week, verse 11. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, N-A-I-N. And his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow. That says it all. The only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her. His heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." That's the worst thing to say to somebody who's grieving, unless you're Jesus. Remember that. It's the worst thing you can say to somebody who's grieving over a death. Say, "Don't cry," unless you're Jesus. Then he went up and he touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." Get up. The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe. A better word is fear. People were afraid. I would be too. So would you if you saw that happen. And they praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. Chuck Swindoll writes this about tears. "When words fail, tears flow. Tears have a language all their own, a tongue that needs no interpreter."
We'll continue this message tomorrow on Cross Hope. Our website is crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org.
Did you know the most interesting verse about tears is actually in Psalm 58:6, I think it is, in the King James. It says, "The Lord gathers our tears in a bottle." That's interesting. Does that mean he literally catches them in a bottle? No. It means he notes them. He duly notes them. And the Lord always takes note of grief. Always. When you think no one cares, no one's aware of my grief, I want to tell you there is one person who is, and that's the Lord God Almighty. He is aware of your grief. He takes note of that. God knows every time you weep, He's aware of every single time a tear comes to a person's eyes. We're going to look at this story for a few minutes in a powerful way, and I want to tell you a couple of stories that I think will challenge you. The Bible says that his heart went out to this woman. I found out it means it's the deepest expression of compassion. His heart went out to her. When's the last time you felt that for another person that you didn't even know? We've become so callous in our culture today, unfortunately, because it's death all the time. We live in a culture of death. It's all about killing. It's all about death in our culture today, unfortunately. And we become callous to it. But there's something to be said about you or me, that we are people of compassion when we're around people who grieve. When we're around people who were grieved. People were buried within 10 to 16 hours of death. I didn't realize that exactly till this week. About 10 to 16 hours when a person died, they were buried. You died in the middle of the night, you were buried the next morning, next afternoon. You died in the morning, you were buried later that day. And that's what people did because of the sanitary conditions of the day. And so this woman has lost everything by losing her son. She has no benefits, no one to depend on perhaps. And she's grieving, and the heart of Jesus goes on out to her. Years ago, I met a couple by the name of Jeff and Karen from San Antonio, Texas. Annie and I met them at a conference. And I noticed that Karen just didn't seem totally healthy. There was something, you know, that just gave it away that she was sick. I wasn't surprised then when a few months later, I heard that she had passed away, leaving three boys, 11, 9, and 5. She was just 39 years old. Jeff was 40. So on a day off in Dallas, I flew to San Antonio just to spend the morning with him. I didn't know him that well. I just met him at a conference. But I spent the morning with him. He was a minister. And here's what he said. Nothing that I've ever done in my ministry ever prepared me for what I went through losing my wife. He said, Randy, I've been to funerals. I've conducted funerals. I've been to funeral homes hundreds of times. I've been with people at the moment of death. And yet he said, nothing I ever went through prepared me for what I was going to go through with Karen. He said, I have a new appreciation, a new understanding. What does that mean? You probably don't have a real appreciation for the grief of other people until you experience it yourself. Remember when I told you about the young man that had a son with leukemia and he lost his hair? And one Sunday, the dad came forward for prayer with his son, and both of them were totally bald. On Saturday, the dad had shaved his head. And if you can believe it, I'm still surprised by it. There were some people that kind of criticized that and said, I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't shave my head just to identify with my son. And I said, well, you don't have a son dying of cancer either. You don't know what you would do in grief. So be careful. When we make statements about other people going through grief, well, I wouldn't do that, or I wouldn't shed tears like that. You don't know what you would do unless you've been through it.
Well, words to the wise for all of us, I think, about be careful judging other people's grief. This message continues on CrossHope. That's crosshope.org.
I want you to notice the authority of Jesus when he said, young man, I say to you, get up. I want you to think about how nuts that is, how crazy it is if you're not God. If you're not the Lord God Almighty, you don't go up to someone in a casket and say, get up, unless you've lost your mind. But Jesus said it calmly, with authority, with power and humility. Young man, I say to you, get up. And you know, one of the most touching verses in all of the Bible, Jesus gave him back to his mother. Listen carefully. Someday the Lord's going to give you back to somebody. And someday the Lord's going to give someone back to you. And I really mean that. I don't say that to be maudlin, to be, you know, mystical and whatever. It's true. To be absent from the body, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, is to be present with the Lord. Another observation I make about this text is that the man who was dead accepted being resurrected. He didn't deserve it. He just accepted it. You catch that? When he was resurrected, he didn't say, I don't deserve this. I'm going back to the death. No. You just accepted what the Lord did. What's my point? When you came to Christ, you don't earn your forgiveness. You accept. You don't earn the pardon. You accept what the Lord has done. And don't ever forget that. It's not something we earn. It's something we accept. It's a free gift of God. That's what grace means. Gift. It's the free gift of God. Sue Monk Kidd was a nurse for years. Then she became an author. She's probably one of the most prolific authors today. Some of you have books by her. She said her husband was very sick in the hospital. She said, soon after midnight, I arose from my tiny sleepless cot in my husband's hospital room. He was terribly sick. Beyond the window, no moon shone. Not even a street lamp pierced the darkness that churned against the window pane. It seemed like the night had conspired with the darkness in my soul, with the churning anguish I felt over my husband's precarious situation. As my fears blackened, I pulled on my shoes and I fled out into the hospital corridor where dim light laced the wall with shadows. Tears trembled on my face. A sob crowded my throat. A few feet away, I saw the visitor's elevator. Its doors opened. I ducked inside and fumbled with the buttons. As it swept me up, my sobs gave way, echoing anonymously along the elevator's pathway. I don't know how many times I rode up and down the elevator. But who would notice and who would care? It was the middle of the night. Suddenly, I heard a soft ping and the elevator door stopped. The doors opened. Inside stepped an elderly man with thinning white hair and eyes that searched, the tears streaming down my face. He pushed a button and dug into his pocket. As we lurched upward, he handed me a neatly folded handkerchief. I wiped my eyes, staring into his kind, steady gaze until his compassion reached my heart like the first fingers of morning sun, dispelling the light. God was strangely present in that elevator, as if he were there in the old man's face. The door swished open. I thanked the stranger, handed him back his handkerchief, damp and soiled with my anguish. Then he nodded and gave me a gentle smile and slipped away into the darkness of that floor. Now listen to this. As I returned to my husband's room, I was quite sure God does not fail us in our distress. His compassion is everywhere, and the tenderest promise of the Bible is true. God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. And he will. He will, one way or the other. Have you ever thought about God using you as a person of comfort?
Well, with that question, we'll leave you till tomorrow on Cross Hope. Our website, of course, is crosshope.org. That's crosshope.org.
Have you ever thought about God using you as a person of comfort? Just like it never occurred to the two men sitting next to Jerry Landry to offer just, hey, we're sorry if you've gone through the loss here. Nothing. Just absolutely nothing. And God can use you, God can use me as people of comfort. God comforts people through other people. And God comforts people through his people. People who call Jesus Lord, the Lord can use you. That's why the Bible says in Corinthians that we're comforted by God so that we can be a comfort to other people with the comfort we have received. Most people think God comforts you so you can selfishly say, hey, thanks, I need that. No, God comforts us so we can be of comfort to other people. I have never been impressed over the years with ministers I've heard speak, and I've heard ministers do this. And they talk about how when they're on airplanes, they lead 10 people to Christ. You know, I led the people next to me, and then I grabbed one of the flight attendants, and I led her to Christ, and I converted the co-pilot, and that never happens to me. I just have people fall asleep on my shoulder, you know, the total strangers. That's what's happened to me. But one time, I had a spiritual moment on a flight from Chicago to St. Louis, and I'll never forget it as long as I live. The person sitting next to me was reading a book. I always peek at the titles that people are reading. I want to know what people are reading. And I just assumed it was a John Grisham novel. I just assumed it was one of the popular books of the day. But I was surprised when the title said, How to Say Goodbye. Well, I didn't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out either she was in the process of losing someone she loved or she already had. So I was just bold and said, is that a good book? She said, it is. It's really helping me. I said, have you lost someone you love? And she said, yes. I just lost my 22-year-old son, Eric, to cancer. And I was bold enough to say, and I didn't press her, I just said, do you mind talking about him? Would you tell me a little bit about Eric? She said, I'd love to talk to you about Eric. She told me that from the time he was diagnosed with cancer to the day he died was 6 months exactly. That's not a long time to say goodbye. 6 months. And she was telling me all the grief they went through. And then she said, you know, what's interesting, as he got near the end of his life in the last week or two, his questions started changing. And I said, what do you mean by that? She said, Eric, even though he was 22 years old, started asking questions like a child would ask. With his eyes closed, he would say, will I see Grandma when I get there? Yeah, you will. Will I see Uncle So-and-so or Aunt So-and-so that died a few years ago? Yeah, you will. You will, Eric. And she said, we were just amazed at how childlike his questions were about death and about resurrection and about heaven. And then without even thinking, I just said, those are the only questions that matter. Those are the only questions that matter. That's the reason he asked those questions. And what he knew in his life, I'm so grateful that he knew the one who said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. If someone believes in me, and though he dies, he will live because he believes in the one who is the resurrection and the life.
Well, we'll conclude this message tomorrow from the Gospel of Luke, the 7th chapter. If you've ever heard me preach, you've heard me say something to this effect, that what you believe about the resurrection impacts and colors everything you believe about everything else in life, including your family, your job. Everything looks different through the lens of resurrection. I really believe that. Let's listen to the conclusion of this message tomorrow on CrossHope. Our website, of course, is crosshope.org. God bless. Well, all this week on Cross Hope, a message from Luke 7 about Jesus raising a young man from the dead. It's only one of three times that I know of in the New Testament where Jesus himself raised someone from the dead other than his own resurrection. And it's a powerful story about the heart of Jesus going out with compassion to the grieving mother who was a widow, and he was the only means of support. It's in Luke 7. We finish it today. Let it speak to you about grief in your own life and how God can use you to be a source of comfort in the lives of other grieving people. God bless you as you listen.
Speaking of profundity, being profound, I used to say something at funeral homes that I was really proud of myself for saying. It's the stupidest thing I ever said. But when there was a tragic death, I would say to people out who would be visiting in the funeral home or out in the parking lot, I would say, yes, death is the ultimate reality. And people would rub their chins and say, yes, that is right. I don't say that anymore. Jesus Christ is the ultimate reality, not death. Jesus Christ is the ultimate reality. And the greatest moment in a man's life, a woman's life, a young person's life, is when they recognize that the ultimate reality in life and death isn't either one. It's Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Jerry Landry, the minister from Pittsburgh, said, I was so busy catching the tears of other people that I didn't have time to grieve myself. And he did. The grief came unexpectedly, unplanned, on a flight from Chicago back to Pittsburgh. But it came. Sooner or later, you will have grief moments. And I want you to notice this, that the heart of Jesus goes out to you. The compassion of Jesus goes out to you. His feeling your pain, his knowing your situation, because you see Psalm 58:6 says, he holds the tears in a bottle, meaning he notes them. He remembers them. He never forgets them. We serve a God who does care. There's so many religions, I think world religions, where God doesn't care about anything. He's detached. He has no feeling. He's not interested in our life. And the God of the Bible and the God of Christianity is a God who has compassion. How do I know that? Because Jesus had compassion. Anything you want to know about God the Father, look at the Son. How much does God care? Look at Jesus. How much does God love me? Look at Jesus. How much is God interested in my life and what's going on? Look at Jesus. That's where you find out how God is, by looking at him. For this reason, the boldest statement to me, just to me, that Jesus ever said was this: if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. That is a statement that Jesus said with total humility, power, and authority, because it was true. It was true. He's the God of compassion. Don't ever forget that. Let's pray together. Father, we're not here to say something profound. We're to speak where the hope is. It's in Jesus, your Son. He's the one we point to. Any hope that we have in life and in death is in Christ. And until a man or woman discovers that, life is not complete. It's not found in what we own. It's not found in our education. It's not found in a career. It's not found in possessions. It's found in the one who said, I am the resurrection and the life. His name is Jesus.
Well, will you remember the lesson today that the bottom line of life and death is resurrection? It all hinges on what you believe or don't believe about the resurrection of Christ and the resurrection of the dead. Our website is crosshope.org.
Been listening to Cross Hope with Randy Snyder. For more information about this ministry or to re-listen to any message heard on this broadcast, go to our website at crosshope.org. Be sure to join us at this same time each weekday or listen at www.crosshope.org. Cross Hope is listener-supported and is produced by Cross Hope Ministries, Incorporated.